Over the years, I've preached many messages on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, most of them being on Easter Sunday, or what I like to call Resurrection Sunday. Of course, as I mentioned earlier, there's a sense in which every Sunday is an observance of the risen Redeemer, who rose from the dead on the third day, which was, of course, a Sunday. And our worship centers on the fact that on Sunday, Christ accomplished an even greater work than creation, namely redemption by rising from the grave. And the revelation of that event is the greatest news that has ever been made known in the history of the world. News that we as believers shouldn't contain to only one Sunday a year, but rather proclaim every Sunday in each year. However, as openly revealed as the news of the risen Redeemer is today, it was at times, immediately after Christ's resurrection, concealed, not only by others, but also at times by our Lord Himself. In fact, there are numerous instances recorded in the Gospel accounts when Jesus Himself appeared to those who knew Him, even to His closest associates and disciples, and when He did appear, He initially concealed His identity, but later revealed it to them. Ever noticed that in the Gospels? So the theme of today's message arising from three records of this occurring in the Gospel accounts is the revelation of the risen Redeemer. And this morning I want to briefly look at three occasions when the risen Redeemer initially concealed but later revealed His identity. Two are in the Gospel of John, and one is in the Gospel of Luke. And all three of these incidents and their New Testament references are cited in your bulletin, so please follow along there with me as I read them on the right-hand side. Incident number one, Jesus revealed Himself to Mary Magdalene outside of His tomb, from John 20, verses 11 to 16, which we just read. The second incident is in John 21, verse 1 and following, where Jesus revealed Himself to seven disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And incident number three, in Luke 24, 13 and following, is where Jesus revealed Himself to Cleopas and his companion while they were traveling to Emmaus. Again, the first incident, when the risen Redeemer initially concealed but later revealed His identity, is recorded in John chapter 20, verses 11 to 16, which I've titled in your bulletin as incident number one, Jesus revealed Himself to Mary Magdalene outside of His tomb. Look at John chapter 20 once again and notice carefully this concealment and the revelation. Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid Him." Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing Him to be the gardener, said to Him, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which is to say teacher or master. Well, this scene opens with a grief-stricken, weeping woman named Mary who was looking for the corpse, the dead body of Jesus, which she thought had been stolen or taken away from the tomb by grave robbers. She is further identified in verse 18 as Mary Magdalene, who was one of our Lord's closest associates. So she was no stranger to him or him to her. This was the woman out of whom you might remember Jesus had cast 7 demons who had frequently served him during his earthly ministry and who was present at his crucifixion at Calvary. And yet, John records in verse 14 that when Mary saw Jesus standing there near the tomb, she did not know that it was Jesus, but rather supposed him to be the gardener or the groundskeeper. But notice how Mary's eyes were opened to the reality of who this man truly was. Did you notice this? In verse 16, Jesus called her by name, Mary. And then, having recognized his voice, she turned and said to him in the Hebrew language, Rabboni, which interpreted means teacher or master. Initially, the risen Redeemer concealed his identity, but later he revealed it, and he revealed it with a single word. So what can we learn from this by way of application? Several things come to my mind. The first one is this. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. Ever heard that before? That's Psalm 34:18. It says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. And that was true of Mary, who was grief-stricken and weeping. And yet Jesus was very near to her at that moment. And our common tendency when we are overwhelmed with grief and loss is to think that the Lord is somehow detached from us and is far away, when in fact just the opposite is true. And perhaps today you're filled with grief and sadness like Mary was, perhaps over the loss of a loved one. And if so, then know this, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. And even though you do not see the Lord, yet you may be sure and certain that he is not far from you. The second closely related application is this. Christ is always near his people, even when they aren't aware of him. Mary was right in the midst of, right in the immediate presence of Jesus. Think of it. She was right there in Christ's immediate presence. And yet she didn't discern that he was there. And sometimes we're just like Mary, aren't we? Full of sadness and gloom, running low on faith and hope, and yet our risen Redeemer never leaves us, and he never forsakes us, and in fact is standing right beside us. Even in the darkest hours and lowest valleys and most difficult trials of life, Jesus is right there with us, even though we fail to discern that he is. Surely one day we'll look back and realize that during those times, the one set of footprints in the sand were Christ's, who was carrying us when we were too weak even to walk. Christ is always near his people, even when they aren't aware of him. Another application is this: people remain blind to Christ's true identity until he calls them by name. Did you get that? People remain blind to Christ's true identity until he calls them by name. Did you notice that the point at which Mary recognized Jesus was when in verse 16 he called her by name? This instance of Christ revealing himself to Mary is a beautiful illustration of our Lord's words in John 10:3, where, referring to himself as the Good Shepherd, Jesus said this: "The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." End quote. By nature and due to sin's blinding spiritual effects, people cannot see or hear Jesus until he calls them individually and personally by name. Christ's true identity is concealed until he reveals it. And when he reveals himself to someone, then they know his voice, and then they recognize Jesus as their teacher and their master. All right, let's move on to the second incident, when the risen Redeemer initially concealed but later revealed his identity. It's recorded in John chapter 21. Turn just a page over to John chapter 21, which I've titled in your bulletin as incident number 2. Jesus revealed himself to 7 disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. Chapter 21 reads this way: "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself: Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and 2 others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, 'I'm going fishing. I'm out of here. I'm done with this religion stuff. I'm going back to my old job,' he said. 'I am going fishing.' And they said to him, 'We are going with you also.' They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, 'Children, have you any food?' They answered him, 'No.' And he said to them, 'Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some.' So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. And therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, namely John, said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. And then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, 'Bring some of the fish which you have just caught.' Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, 'Come and eat breakfast.' Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, 'Who are you?' knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. And this is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Well, in the interest of time, I'll only draw your attention to one main point here in this passage, which is this, that Jesus came to his disciples, did you notice, after they had spent all night fishing and had caught nothing, and appeared to them when they were most in need. And at that point, he revealed himself to them by means of a miracle. A miracle. Cast the net on the right side of the boat, he said, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. And in verse 7, the beloved disciple John recognized that this was something only Christ himself could do. And it led him to confess, "It is the Lord." So Jesus revealed himself by means of a miracle and by means of miraculous provision. Initially, the disciples didn't recognize Christ's physical appearance, nor did they recognize his voice or his words to them. So he performed a miracle of great provision, which John recognized was something that only Jesus could do. And by way of application, and in answer to the question, why? Why does Jesus do miraculous things like this? The answer is, he does miracles and miraculously answers prayer to elicit your confession that he is Lord, and in order to make you his worshiper. The goodness of God, his abundant, immeasurable goodness, especially when he does something miraculous for you or for someone you love, is crafted and designed by God to cause you to realize and recognize, as John did, that it is the Lord who has done this great miracle. And to go to him as quickly as possible, like the disciples did, to have fellowship and communion with him. And to know with certainty and with assurance that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Well, the third and last incident, when the risen Redeemer initially concealed but later revealed his identity, and perhaps the most profound of all three of them, is in Luke chapter 24. I'll ask you to turn there. The third point on our outline, incident number 3, is where Jesus revealed himself to Cleopas and his companion while traveling to Emmaus. Luke 24, beginning at verse 13, we read, "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles distance from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, 'What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?' And then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days?' And he said to them, 'What things?' So they said to him, 'The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him.' but we were hoping that it was He who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, beside all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. Remember Mary, right? When they did not find His body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said He was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but Him they did not see. And then He said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Jesus expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. And then they drew near to the village where they were going. And He indicated that He would have gone farther. But they constrained Him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent. And He went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as He sat at the table with them, that He took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they knew Him, and He vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, Did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us on the road, and while He opened the Scriptures to us? So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how He was known to them in the breaking of bread. Well, this third scene opens with Jesus converging and conversing with two people, one named Cleopas, as they were traveling to a village called Emmaus, 7 miles distance from the city of Jerusalem. And verse 16, notice, explains that both of them had previously known Jesus and were familiar with Him, because it says that their eyes were restrained so that they did not know Him. So obviously this suggests that had their eyes not been restrained, then they would have known and recognized Him as the Christ. But then when we come to verse 31, we see that this concealment turned to revelation. Verse 31 says, Then their eyes were opened, and they knew Him. So once again we see here that the risen Redeemer initially concealed, but later revealed His identity. To Cleopas and his companion, Jesus initially concealed and restrained His identity, but later opened their eyes and revealed Himself to them. And especially notice in verse 25 and following, by what means Jesus opened their eyes to this great revelation. It was by directing their attention to the testimony of Scripture concerning Himself. Verse 25 again. Then He said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And then beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. And then, after blessing and breaking bread, which they were about to eat together in a common meal, verse 31 says, Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him. Well, here are some concluding applications we can make from this revelation of the risen Redeemer. The first one is this. By temporarily veiling his identity to the two Emmaus disciples, Jesus taught the primacy and the centrality of his word. That's what he was teaching. He was teaching them and us the primacy and the centrality of his word. Did you notice or wonder why Christ didn't immediately make himself known to these disciples when he appeared to them? Has that ever crossed your mind? Why didn't he just appear to them and let him his identity be immediately known? Because he didn't. He veiled and he concealed his identity to them for a while. Well, I believe it was because he was showing them and us that the primary way he makes himself known after his death and resurrection is by his word. Jesus came to these two disciples veiled. They didn't know who he was. But then he spoke the word to them. Right? He spoke the word to them. And he spoke it to them at great length. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets and expounding to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And by doing so, he got their eyes off of everything visible, tangible, physical, and material. And he focused their attention exclusively upon his word. Why? Because that's how he would be revealing himself afterwards in days to come. Not by appearing to people as he did on a number of occasions in those few weeks prior to his ascension. But he reveals himself to us now by the revelation of his word in Scripture. And that's why he initially concealed and temporarily veiled his identity to the two Emmaus disciples. Because he was showing them, that he was showing us also by way of application, that the primary way Christ now makes himself known is by means of Scripture. Jesus was teaching them and us the primacy and the centrality of his word. Another closely related application is this. Exposure to Scripture revealing how Christ fulfilled messianic prophecies is an effective way to help others recognize the risen Redeemer. I'll repeat it. Exposure to Scripture revealing how Christ fulfilled messianic prophecies is an effective way to help others recognize the risen Redeemer. The instrumental means that Jesus used to open the eyes of the two people traveling to Emmaus was to expound and to explain the many Old Testament prophecies that were fulfilled by Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection. And brethren, we should never underestimate the power and the efficacy of that same method with other people. Bring people into contact with God's Word. That's evangelism. Bring people into contact with God's Word, particularly with fulfilled prophecies concerning Jesus. Why? Because exposure to Scripture revealing how Christ fulfilled messianic prophecies is an effective, a profoundly effective way to help others recognize the risen Redeemer. Well, finally, in conclusion, and as a word of encouragement, let me say this. Christ is still revealing his true identity as the risen Redeemer to those who initially did not recognize him. Let me repeat that. Christ is still revealing his true identity as the risen Redeemer to those who initially have not and did not recognize him. Granted, these three incidents that we've considered today have to do with people who were already Christ's disciples who didn't recognize him. But, listen, a much greater difficulty is posed for those who are unconverted and unbelieving. Scripture depicts them as being spiritually blind and unable to see Jesus, and spiritually deaf and unable to hear him. But in mercy, in rich, abundant mercy to those in that kind of a condition, Christ reveals his true identity as the risen Redeemer. The message of his suffering, death, and resurrection from the dead results in life, everlasting life, for all those who by faith believe and trust in Christ, that he died, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And even though the risen Redeemer's identity may seem to have been concealed from you in the past, yet by means of the Scriptures, it can be revealed to you today in the present, because Christ is still revealing his true identity as the risen Redeemer to those who initially have not and did not recognize him. Amen. Let's pray together. And Father, we thank you for the great revelation of yourself that you have made through your Son, Jesus Christ, who in times past was concealed, but who is now fully revealed in the pages of Scripture, where we ought to be looking and where we ought to be directing the attention of others to look. Help us today to learn that great lesson, to bring people into contact with the Scriptures, and especially those that speak of the fulfillment of messianic prophecy in the work, the suffering, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This we ask and pray in his name. Amen.